Think of three things that identifies you as a person. You don't have to say it out loud. Like if somebody were to say, hey, Andrew, what are three things that identifies you as a person? I'll tell you mine. I love meat. Those who know. I'm vegetarian in the sense I let my meat eat the vegetables first. And then eat the meat, then I get both the meat and the vegetable at the same time. I love music. And number three, I love God's word. I'm not saying those as proudful things, I'm just saying them as those are the three things you see me doing. Lori comes home and I have music blaring, classical music usually, and reading God's word, because I teach that all the time. If you're thinking of the Hebrews or Israelites or Jews, as we usually call them, there are three things that marks them, and the enemies knew that. Number one, they ate kosher food, right? Now, it's not in this order. Number one technically is circumcision. The males of the Israelites, even to this day, they were circumcised. And that marked them as a Jew. Now, other cultures did that too back then and also now. But that's one of their markers that they were very proud of. The second marker is the kosher food, very similar to halal, but kosher included clean animals that they can eat, unclean animals that they cannot eat. And some of their unclean animals are our favorites, like ham, pork, bacon, right? Or fish, some kind of fish, and then shrimp, right? Most of us like them. Shrimps are prawns, but yet they could not eat them. They were unclean to them. And the third thing that was very unique to them was keeping the Sabbath holy. Now, their enemies knew that. So all the wars that they had till the time of Christ and a little bit after the time of Christ were all done on Sabbath. The enemies will come in. None of the Israelites will fight against them because it is to keep the day holy. And they would constantly imprison them because of them coming on the Sabbath. All the topics that we have been talking about in some way relate to these three things because they were holy to them. But today we will look at one of them, Sabbath. That's the topic. And I have titled a funny title for some of those people that knew this song from the 60s and 70s. The song went, War. Ah. Yeah, what is it good for? And the song continues, absolutely nothing, right? The rest of it doesn't make any sense. Matt and I had just fun coming up with the title, right? Matt also gave us the nice comparison, a nice title. You know, one of the challenges for the young people was you create a Marvel character like Jesus for Mark's gospel and you will win a prize. Matt's is the first entry, right, where he had made that title look like Marvel Comics and compassion unveiled. And as we have been talking about, Jesus' super strength is compassion, splungnizo, which we will again see today. Unlike Matthew and Luke that presents Jesus as a baby and he grows up and then he starts the ministry and he dies, Mark presents him as an adult, and that's the reason I compare him with like a Marvel comic superhero. And the purpose is to show that Jesus, not Caesar, is the true Son of God. Caesar claimed he was the Son of God. Matter of fact, that's even jokes where Caesars that did not believe, for example, Domitian did not believe he was God. But as he was dying, he sarcastically said, oh dear, I think I'm becoming a god. And then he dies. Now, they claimed they were the sons of God, and they were the right rulers over the people. And Mark is saying, no, look at all the lives of Jesus, all the teachings of Jesus, all the powers of Jesus. And at the end in the gospel, we would see it is as Caesar's commander, a centurion, that says, truly, this is the Son of God, not Caesar, whom he is serving at that moment. Right? So we will see that as we go through. I talked about the structure, that Mark has a tendency to put three stories together, and he sandwiches them where the first story and third story have a lot of things in common, and the middle story has some unique differences. Like the first story we saw, the first story and the third story were dealt with men's uncleanliness, and the middle story dealt with one lady's uncleanliness. And I will introduce one more new structure today. Mark also has a tendency where he will start a story and he will get kind of distracted to go to another story, and then he will come back and finish the old story. A classic example is Jesus is on his way to heal Jairus' daughter, but in the middle he runs into a lady with a blood issue and he cleans her first, or he heals her first. But then the story continues and continues on with to talk about the Jairus' healing. Right? These are called, the terms are bracketed stories or a story within a story. Those are fancy title for how Mark does that. Now, knowing this helps in today's story as we go further. Keep that in mind, because we will come to a story that we saw three Sundays ago, but then Mark went into a slight detour. Now he will come back and finish that story that he began, and that story deals with Sabbath. So you can see that in today's triplets, it's dealing with the fourth commandment. He started talking about this, what's called Sabbath controversy among the theologians, healing a man with an unclean spirit on a Sabbath in a synagogue. So we will look at that briefly today. But then he had other stories, like the story of sin, sinners, and saints that we saw last week. And then he comes back to story number two, again, plucking grains and eating on Sabbath, dealing with the third story on Sabbath. So you can see that Marcus has this really nice rhetoric of talking about three stories in a way. And that's one reason I'm also talking in three stories, trying to bring us Mark's structure. And Sabbath deals with the fourth commandment. Now, this is a pretty long statement that you can read it either in Exodus or Deuteronomy, where the Lord had commanded, the first three commandments are, honor the Lord your God with all your heart, don't have any other idols to worship, and then don't take the Lord's name in vain. The fourth commandment deals with the Sabbath. It says, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall work, labor, and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates, or your male servant or your female servant may rest as well. Now, I did have a teacher that said he only left the wives out. Right? They still had to cook food. Yeah, sorry, that's not in the text, right? You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commands you to keep Sabbath holy. Now, as you can tell, the first one was, very, very short. Honor the Lord your God. Short. And then you have the second one, pretty short too. Don't have any idols, graven image. Third one is very short. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Then the rest of them would also be very short. In Hebrew, it's just two words. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit false testimony. Thou shalt not steal. All of them are short. But when you come to Sabbath, it is very detailed. Matter of fact, a little further when you go into like Deuteronomy 22, you have 2-3 chapters on how to keep Sabbath very holy. Now, even the creation is set on a pattern. In Exodus, here the comparison is to bringing you out of the land of Egypt. But in Exodus, the comparison is because God rested on the seventh day. Right? So because of creation and because of Exodus, they were told to keep the seventh day holy. Right? Now, our Sabbath is not their Sabbath. Right? Our Sunday is technically their first day. Their Sabbath began Friday evening, And then it ended Saturday evening. When Lori and I first met, Lori could not believe that I actually did not study on Friday night. I was a partial wannabe Jew. I didn't study on Friday night just to give me a break. But for the Jews, Sabbath was Friday evening till Saturday evening, and they did not do any work. Matter of fact, the rabbis divided into a huge explanation. They had an entire tract dedicated in two different commentary, Mishnah and Talmud, called Sabbat, where they had 138 pages or paragraphs of talking about how to keep the holy. And there's further divisions that you can see. Matt can forward this PowerPoint for you to see. But I want to talk about the 39 forbidden work on a Sabbath. You cannot plow, plant, reap, gather, thresh, winnow, sort, grind, shift, knead, or cook. Right, so all the things to do with food you had to take care of on Saturday or the sixth day, right? On Sabbath, they cannot do anything like that. When it comes to taking care of animals, no shearing, washing, combing wool, dyeing, spinning, weaving, threading, warping, spreading two threads, tying, untying, sewing, and tearing. None of those you can do on Sabbath day. Or outside, you cannot trap an animal, kill an animal, skin an animal, cure the leather, smooth the leather, scorching or cutting. None of that you can do on a Sabbath day. Or finally, you cannot write, erase. Young people, that's the excuse you need to give to your mom and dad. I can't erase my material. I can't type today. Now, I'm not trying to give you bad examples, right? Erase. Do construction, demolish, ignite a fire. In Israel, even to this day, when you go into the elevator on Sabbath, you cannot press any button because pressing a button, in their mind, starts a fire, a spark, and as a result, it goes up and down. So in Israel, even to this day, on Sabbath, elevators automatically stop constantly on each floor. Imagine you're on the 28th floor. Before you get to your room, it's going to stop 28 times. And then eventually you get to your room. Because that's igniting a fire is considered work. Or extinguishing a fire. Now that's dangerous. Right? If you have a house fire, you can't put that out on a Sabbath day. Or transporting anything. Your friend calls you and says, could you bring me something? You can't say no. Or traveling. Now, it is really interesting. Israelites found ways to get around it. One rule about traveling is you put on many clothes on you so that 1 mile it was allowed to walk. And you can walk 1 mile and you take one of your shirt and put it down. Now, that's your temporary housing. So you can walk another mile, and then you take your second shirt off, and you put it down, and then you can walk 1 more mile. So they did find a way to get around it, same as they have pig farms. The law said you cannot have a pig on the land of Israel, so the pig farms are 4 feet above the land on wooden planks. So the pigs are not technically touching the ground, yeah? But in reality, they had so many rules, 138 paragraphs of rule on what to do on Sabbath and what not to do on Sabbath, right? Now, I don't know about you. I grew up in a very legalistic, conservative Christian home. We had a whole bunch of rules. One of them I still remember. We cannot play cards. Right? And I don't know where that rule came from, but I remember I would sneakingly still play cards. My sister and I always got into trouble because we would still play cards on Sunday. So eventually my mom and dad realized there's no way to stop Andrew and Saji. So they said, okay, you just had to put the cards away if we have any guests. And we did that, right? We also found a way to get around. So you can see in the mind of the Israelites, Sabbath is a very holy thing. right? You don't do any work because the Lord rested on the seventh day. You don't do any kind of work or creating things. They are called creative work, by the way. And you don't any of those because God brought you out of Egypt. And this is the fourth commandment in the Ten Commandments. You do not absolutely break it. There was one exception, saving a human or an animal life, right? So yes, ladies, you can give birth to a baby on Sabbath. That's a good thing, right? Or doctors can work on delivering the babies on Sabbath or healing a person on Sabbath. Or if your animal happened to fall into a hole, you can deliver him out. You can pick him out. Saving a life was an exception, right? But everything else on Sabbath, you are to rest, keep it holy. They did not even go to synagogue or temple on Sabbath. The priest did work on Sabbath. All they did was to make sure the lights in the temple are lit. No sacrifices were given on Sabbath. And the showbread, the table bread that was there for the Lord, remained at the table bread, right? Those are the things even the priests did. It was a holy, holy, holy day for them. They were to rest. Now, compared to our Sundays, if you're a pastor, Sundays are the busiest day. Matter of fact, many schools like mine and other churches too give pastors Monday off because even though it's supposed to be a restful day, and I keep saying it's not the same as Sabbath, but still supposed to be a Lord's day. Most of the time, the pastors and teachers are busy, so they get Monday off. But still keep this in mind so to understand the next three stories that we are understanding. So in their mind, you can save life, but you can't do any other work, right? Matter of fact, there's an interesting story in the Gospels. A lady comes to Jesus to be healed that had been unable to walk more than like this for 39 years, right? And they said to her, why couldn't you wait till Monday? Why are you here on Sabbath? You have been tortured for 39 years. Why can't you wait one more day? Right? Because that's how much they thought. Unless it's emergency, unless it is saving a life, no work should be done. But the Lord Jesus was very different, and we will see this, because he sees it as a saving a person's life, but more than physical life, sees it as a saving a person's spiritual, emotional life, right? And so he would do lots of stuff. This story we looked at 2 weeks ago, so I'm not going to go much through this story. Jesus is in Capernaum, and he is in a synagogue. And as he walks in, there is a person with unclean spirit, and they shout out and say, we know you, who you are, the Son of God. And Jesus says, don't you speak, and he hushes them. But other people are saying, what kind of authority does this person have? What kind of a teaching does this person have? Because soon after that, Jesus says, come out of him, and the evil spirit comes out of him. Right? And they have not seen such teachings. Now, Jesus delivers that person on that Sabbath spiritually, right? From the Lord's point of view, that is a saving of spiritual life of a person. But that brings us to today's story. There's two stories we're going to see. And the stories are interesting because they're not technically saving a person's life, right? But the Lord expands on it. The first story is in Mark chapter 2, 23 to 28. I'll read this one. If my Bible cooperates. It's a short passage, Mark 2, 23. He was in the Sabbath. It was a Sabbath, and they were walking through a field on the road. Right now, Mark is being very careful to describe both of them, and we will see this. And the disciples began to pluck the grains and eat them. And the Pharisee says to them, listen to the words, why are they working on Sabbath when it is not lawful? I'm going to talk about a word there. It's called, it's a Greek word, exeston. We will see that several times repeated, right? Why are they working when it is which is unlawful to do on a Sabbath? If you remember the list, they can't pluck on Sabbath, right? But the disciples are plucking the grains on Sabbath, right? And so the Pharisees who are walking with them, which is kind of surprising, they shouldn't be walking at all, but Jesus and the disciples are walking and they're also walking with them, and they're saying, why are they doing what is unlawful to do? So the Lord tells a story from Old Testament. He says, don't you know what David worked? When he had a need, he and those who were with him, they entered into the house of a priest and took the bread, that was a sole bread, God's only bread, which was not authority, again the same word, exeston, which they didn't have the authority to eat, only the priest had the authority to eat. But David ate and gave it to those who were with them. Right? And he says to them, and we'll come to this conclusion in a moment, right? He says, you are talking about me not having an authority to let my disciples pluck the grains and eat them. They aren't hungry. By the way, there was a law that said when you are plowing the field, you have to leave the corners. You cannot harvest the corners. Right? All four corners of the field you cannot harvest. This reason is very simple. That was meant for the poor people. And if you remember the story of Ruth, Ruth comes and says to Boaz, could I pluck all those grains on the side of the field? Because she's poor, Naomi is poor. But Boaz says to the servants, not only make sure that she plucks those outside grains, but also leave her some on the field that she can have, right? So because of the law, the rabbis did teach at this time that you can pluck the grains because you're a poor person and you're plucking them for your sustenance, for your living. You're not harvesting, right? But they argue that they are reaping. They are working and plucking, which they are identifying them with reaping, right? And as you can see, that breaks both the laws that we talked about earlier. They're making three kinds of violations. One, they're walking on Sabbath through a grain land that is in the middle of a path. And two and three, they're working and they're plucking. Right? And that's the reason the Pharisees get upset and they say to him, why are you doing what is unlawful to do on a Sabbath? The Lord calls on his ancestor David and said, don't you know there were times even David did unlawful thing? It was lawful for the priest to eat the shewbread, but not lawful for other people to eat. But he was hungry, so were the people who were with him. And he goes in and asks the priest for the food. And the priest says, I only have the bread that is offered to God. And David says, I'm hungry. And he gives him the bread. Right? So Jesus says, there are exceptions. When you're starving, you can even eat Lord's food. The same way, when my disciples are starving, they can pluck poor people's food and eat them. Having said that, he gives two beautiful principles. First of all, he says, the Sabbath was made for the people, not the other way around. In other words, God gave, and they did have a rule called the Shabbat rule, which talked about how do you rest on Sabbath. First of all, you rest by praying. Second, you rest by enjoying the previous day's leftover. So that you don't have to cook, you don't have to clean. And many Israelites at this time only ate bread on Sabbath day because they didn't want any kind of cooking. Maybe they put a little bit butter or something like that, but they would not do any kind of cooking or any kind of cleaning because it was a day to rest. They can pray, they can fast, They could sing. They could talk about Exodus account. But they can't even visit their relatives. They can sing, they can laugh, they can cry. All of those emotions were allowed, not work-related events. They completely rested. Many of the rabbis would study the Torah all day long. That's how they rested. They thought of rest as being in the presence of God. And so even with the, think about this. God did not have to rest after 5 days of six days of saying six words, right? Or six phrases. Let there be light. And then there was light. Let the earth be formed. Saying 6-7 sentences and making a man out of a mud is not going to wear God out. Right? So why did God rest? He rested to show people need to rest. Sabbath was created for people's sake, not the other way around. If you're working too much, Jesus is saying to the people, if you are working too much and if you're causing damage too much on Sabbath, you have missed the purpose of Sabbath. Sabbath was made for people, not people for Sabbath. Second, he says, now this is a little interesting thing how Mark says it versus Matthew and Luke say it. Matthew and Luke said the Son of Man, referring to Jesus, is the Lord of Sabbath, which is true. He created Sabbath, right? He is the one who Father God gave the commandment to keep the Sabbath. But when you give a commandment to keep the Sabbath, often you are above the law, right? And God sees himself as above the law. But what's interesting is how Mark says it. He says, the Son, Jesus, is Lord of the people and Lord of the Sabbath. Slight change, and that change makes a big difference. He's not only the Lord of Sabbath, but he is also Lord of you and me. Right? And Mark says to say, hey, because I'm a Lord over a Sabbath and I'm Lord over people, I can let my hungry disciples pluck grains and eat them on Sabbath. Right? That brings us to the third story. It is again happening on a Sabbath in a synagogue. And there's a man with a shrunken hand. It could either be that it had withered somehow or it had paralyzed somehow. And now, because they have already questioned him twice, he is asking them, is it rightful to heal a person on Sabbath? He makes him stand in the middle of them, and all of them are looking at him, and he says, is it rightful for me to heal this person? And this is the third time he says, is it lawful, or the word lawful occurs third time, existent, to work or to do good on Sabbath or work evil on a Sabbath? That is, to save life or to kill life. Now, they knew the law, right? They knew the law that said you can always heal a person, save a life on Sabbath. But they're so hardened or so legalistic, they can only think of emergency death cases that you can work to save life. But not a guy that has a withered hand. A guy with a withered hand for many years, they thought, can wait one more day. Why can't he come on the first day of the week? Why should he be here on the seventh day of the week, the Sabbath day? Right? And why should Jesus heal him? But when he asked this question, the story says, they did not answer. And he saw that as a hardened heart. Because they should have said, Lord Jesus, this poor guy with the withered hand, think about withered hands, or tie your hand for a week and try to do every work by just one hand. Yeah. Once in a while, I get gout. And when I get gout, sometimes it's on my foot and sometimes it's on my left hand. When it gets into my right or left hand wrist, I know the pain. Yeah, anything from picking up a pot to writing, erasing, driving a car, if you have a car, everything becomes a chore. This guy had no function of one of his hands, and he'd been partially working, and the people don't have the compassion to say, Lord Jesus, heal him. After all, it's your day. You are his Lord. You are the Lord of Sabbath. Heal him. Instead, they were so hardened, they remained quiet. And it says, and that Jesus was moved with splungnizo. Another word similar to that, scipio. He was moved with both anger and compassion, all kinds of feelings. But then he continues on with the man and says, come and stretch out your hand. And as he stretches out his hand, it becomes whole. And he goes home happy. And they're amazed. Matter of fact, look at what they do. Not only are they amazed, the people are amazed, but look at what the people do. The Pharisees immediately went out with the Herodians, and they decided and planned how they may kill Jesus. Right? Exactly what the law said they should not do on a Sabbath. They can save life. They cannot kill. But these people's hearts are so hardened, they go out planning, hey, how could we kill Jesus today? Not save life, but to kill life. What are the lessons? Number one, Jesus has authority to cleanse people. He doesn't have to have time frame. You can't say to Jesus, only on Sabbath, and only between 9 a.m. 5 p.m. you can heal people emotionally, socially, spiritually, mentally, in whatever way people are hurting. We saw a spiritual healing, a man that is oppressed by evil spirit. We saw two kinds of physical healing. One that is a disciples who are hungry, and then one, a person with a withered spirit, a hand. Right? Whatever the healing is, Jesus can do it at any time he wants. He doesn't need any of our permissions to heal him when and when not. Right? And so when we pray for people, spiritual, social, emotional, mental healing, we say, Lord, we know you can heal at any time you want. You can cleanse at any time we want. We want your help at this moment. Same as we want his help at this moment for Ploy. God's laws were meant for people's benefit, never for us to slavishly use them to harm us or other people. This is where the Pharisees missed the point. They forgot the soul that goes with the law and kept only the law. They forgot the spirit of the law and only went with the written law. The law about keeping a Sabbath holy was people to have rest, people to have emotional rest, people to have spiritual rest, for them to be delivered from all kinds of oppressions. That's the purpose of a Sabbath. Not rules and regulations. When the elevator stops and when can you eat and when can you not? What can you cook and what can you not cook? Who can play card games and who can watch television? I was also with a friend who one time, this is in the 80s, he believed he cannot watch television on Sunday, which is not even Sabbath, right? Yes, if you decide on your own that on Sunday you will do nothing but pray, sing, go to church, and fast, go for it. Sabbath was created for each one of us to apply it in the way we want to celebrate God's freedom. Not to impose it as a rule to your neighbor. Not even to your spouse. Please don't tell your spouse you can't eat today because it is Sabbath. That will lead to divorce. Yeah. We are to use it as a command given for our benefit. We need to decide what God demands us of on a Sabbath day or a Sunday. not to use them slavishly on people. It is always acceptable to do good and save lives, not to do bad and hurt or kill others. Always, whether it is Sabbath or non-Sabbath, first day of the week, second day of the week, third day of the week, fourth day of the week, fifth day of the week, and sixth day of the week, and the seventh day of the week, always acceptable to do good on Sabbath. Always acceptable to do good on any day, but not always, never acceptable to do evil or take life or hurt lives. Questions for us. Sabbath. Huh. Yeah. What is it good for? I give you a couple of things. To spend time with the Lord. To spend time with the family, to meditate on God's word, to sleep. Some of us really just need to sleep, to watch a good movie, to hear some good songs, to go to the park, to go to the beach, never to hurt others, always to do good to others. Right? And you can make a whole bunch of lists, each one of you, according to your own desires, personalities, likes, and dislikes. And yes, if you enjoy cooking like Matt, go for it. Yeah? What must we do differently to be like Jesus? A person with compassion. I know many of us are always legalistic. When there is a rule, I have been scolded several times, thank you Singaporeans, because I jaywalk. I think at 6 o'clock in the morning when there is no cars on the road, I don't need a green man to tell me when I can walk and when I cannot walk. I am smarter than that green man, right? But I even had a guy who was going on a bicycle yell at me saying, "Don't jaywalk, idiot." Right? He didn't have to walk jaywalk. Matter of fact, he was breaking the law by turning when he was not supposed to turn. I didn't have the heart to tell him that. Yeah? Use wisdom, obey the law. Bible tells us to obey the commandments, but don't do it slavishly. Do it wisely, to build up each other, to have compassion to people. When we see someone breaking the law, have compassion, right? Not breaking the law. I should have not said that way. They're doing something different than what we are used to. Find out why are they doing the way they are doing. Yeah? Because they may have a genuine reason. We assume, I remember Dr. Chuck Swindoll told this story, and I'll finish with that story. There was a man that had come to his, Chuck Swindoll is a famous preacher with lots of people attending his seminars and his preaching seminars and all. There was one man that was sitting there, and as soon as Dr. Chuck Swindoll gets up to pray, he would fall asleep. Preach, he would fall asleep. And Dr. Swindoll has been doing this for a couple of days in a series, and he was getting annoyed. Why is this guy in the front row, and as soon as I preach, he falls asleep? What's the use in it? So the third or fourth day, he decided he would go and talk with that person and find out why. And as he walked down, the lady sitting next to him, his wife, got up and said, "Dr. Swindoll, thank you so much for coming to Colorado. My brother is dying of brain cancer, and he had one wish in life, that was to hear you in live because he admired you. He grew in faith because of your preaching. So thank you so much for coming here. I'm sorry my brother keeps falling asleep because of all the chemos and the medication and the pain medication that he is on." And Dr. Chuck Swindoll said he felt so small, right? Because he prejudged him and thought he was falling asleep. He had no compassion, right? When we see people do things differently, especially contrary to traditions that we have had, let's have compassion like the Lord, not judgment. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, What a compassionate Father. A compassionate Father you are, and what a compassionate Lord Jesus is. Help us to learn to be compassionate to people. Help us to learn that rules were meant for our good, not for us to slavishly use it on people and to be judgmental in their lives. Help us to keep our Sabbath holy. Help us to spend time in God's Word. Help us to spend time singing and praying and thinking and meditating, walking, and in any way, drawing or whatever way that glorifies you. Enjoying your creation. Enjoying the people that you created. Help us to be people like the Lord Jesus, full of compassion and kindness to people around us, so that we become healing ointments in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.